What is up, everybody? We are back with another episode. Fascinating episode today. We bring on Lily Komba, formerly Director of Ambassador at Seed Health. You may have come across this brand. You may have seen all the influencer work that they've done. I actually put out a tweet asking for what brands I should bring on the podcast, and several people mentioned Seed. So we bring on Lily, talk about that, talk about how they had a 5X return. You heard that here first, 5X, and into not the hundreds of dollars, not the hundreds of thousands of dollars, not the hundreds of thousands of dollars. We are talking hundreds of millions of dollars of attributable revenue that she did through her influencer marketing program. That might as well just be the mic drop there. Let's jump into the episode. Want to shout out and thank our sponsors here on the Influencer Marketing Blueprint podcast, Social Snowball and Mighty Scout, both tools that we use internally and recommend highly to D2C brands that are wanting to leverage influencer marketing, paid social, and creative. Go check them out. All right. We are back with another episode. Taylor, what's up? Before I introduce our guest.
I don't know why you always throw at me. It's so inconsiderate, Cody. But I'm going to
Dude, I've been on some podcasts where I am sitting there for the first 5 minutes and I'm like, I'll just be here when you need me. So we won't do that to you, Lily. Lily Komba, I'm pronouncing your last name right?
Nailed it.
Awesome. Nailed it. So I actually came across when I put out a tweet on what brands should we bring onto the show. Several people mentioned Seed. So Here we are. What's up?
Seed, X previously Seed. Seed previously for almost seed. Three. I just recently left. It was an end of a very profound era, but I was there for almost 3 years, and it was a very meaningful time in my career for sure.
What is Seed? And even if you want to give the audience a little bit of background, what you're doing before you joined.
Yeah,
because we'll get into like what you're currently doing now. You already teased the audience with you previously left, so.
Absolutely. I can get into my Seed pitch mode, hopefully acquire some new customers, even though I'm not working there anymore. Seed is a microbiome sciences company. So they develop probiotics for human and planetary health. And basically what that means is they're creating kind of the first ever true probiotic that you can buy as a consumer. Their first hero SKU is called a daily synbiotic, which means it's a prebiotic and a probiotic in one. And that's important for a lot of reasons, but this isn't an interview about probiotics, so I'll limit my brain dump on that. So my job when I was hired at Seed was to start their influencer program. They had kind of the foundation of their program laid with Seed University as their affiliate program, but they hadn't tested a ton in the paid influencer space. And so I was their first hire within the influencer team to oversee the scale of it. And that's exactly, we'll get into obviously the details of all of that, but that's what I did. Me alongside a very small and scrappy team. But prior to Seed, so I guess 3 years ago, I was at Thrive Market for about 4 years. And that's where I really got the foundation of my influencer knowledge. I started as a coordinator, made my way up to a manager. And how the team was structured at Thrive was each kind of manager oversaw a different channel. So someone oversaw Instagram, someone oversaw podcasts. And I am so grateful that I oversaw YouTube, because YouTube is still very much the wild, wild west. I mean, the entire influencer industry is a little unhinged, but specifically YouTube, it's really a wild, wild west. And so I was the go-to YouTube nerd for about 3 years at Thrive. And then my final 10 months to a year, I actually pivoted to the content team. I was a senior content writer for my final 10 months there, just because I loved the brand. I loved working there. And I just wanted to see what another team looked like. And I helped project manage their first cookbook. But I wanted to get back into the influencer space. But I wanted to be hired to build a team from the ground up, just taking everything that I had learned at my time at Thrive Market. Obviously, a lot of the ideas I wasn't able to execute for whatever reasons. I wasn't overseeing the team. So wanted to take some of my theories and test them out. And that's what I did at Seed. And it worked out. And now I'm here.
So I want to focus on Seed a little bit, because obviously that was the brand that people thought of when they thought of influencer marketing. What brand should you talk to? You know, I went to the website from the LinkedIn, and it's like, it doesn't come across as a typical supplement. And what year did you enter seed and get hired?
November 2020.
Okay, so fairly recent. I'm just curious, like a company that size, what was the metric that they were looking for? Like, Lily, we're going to bring you in. You're going to run an influencer.
Yeah.
Go do your thing. Like, there's probably a lot of,
They said, keep it to $100 CPA or lower, which if any, I mean, obviously a lot of influencer marketer, they understand what a CPA is, but I'll explain it. It's cost per acquisition. So how much are we paying for influencers and how much are we seeing on that return? So if I pay someone $10,000 for an Instagram story, divide that by 100, that's 100 new customers. So that's our target. CPA was the primary KPI that we had as a team.
Come on. Well, let's hear about it a little bit more here now. Give us journey. A little bit of a brag on your experience at Seed. What are you most proud of while there? Let's go into the pre-podcast statement of hundreds of millions of dollars in attributable. That was the word that I really enjoyed. Revenue, just on this podcast, tends to be a conversation that we have quite frequently around attribution as well. So would love to hear about that a little bit more. Honestly, you're the first person that's come on this podcast and actually said that your KPI was a CPA target, which is
really
awesome, incredible. Just people are, so take us through it. Hundreds of millions of dollars in attributable revenue. Would love to hear more about that and how you are actually tracking it.
So I joined mid to end 2020. It's funny because when I was hired, I signed the paper and I immediately started recruiting influencers while I was still like transitioning out of my time at Thrive Market. And our co-founder likes to joke that I will go down in Seed history as the first employee to make money for the company before I was even working there. I was very eager and excited to start or to at least get back into the influencer marketing space. So over the few, I guess, 3, 2.5 years that I was there, we went from, I think the first allocated budget that I got was like $20,000 to $30,000 just for the influencer channel alone. And that was just to be allocated to upfront fees. So-and-so charges $2,000 an Instagram story, not necessarily the affiliate community or the commission-based creators, but like upfront and traditional influencers. And we quickly scaled that from in 2020 from, $20,000 a month to I think the highest budget we had in this year in 2023 was close to $2 million. $1.6 million was the highest budget that we oversaw as a team. Seed really took off very quickly within the influencer space. So we, that first month of having a $20,000 budget, within 4 to 5 months, I was already spending $300,000, $400,000 on influencers. And the only reason why I was kind of awarded that size budget is because we were seeing really low CPAs from our influencers, anywhere from 30 to 40, mostly Instagram. So knowing that YouTube is my favorite, Instagram is Instagram stories. So I usually don't recommend that brands focus on reels or posts or anything in feed until you have a very well-established influencer program and you're hitting your groove and hitting your goals and like you're in a good place. Because if you're a direct response company, you're not going to see a return on reels and posts because there's nothing clickable about it. Right, you're trying to sell something on the internet, you need a link. And so that's why we focused a lot on Instagram stories and on YouTube those first few months, because it's direct response. Like there's a link in link on an Instagram story, you click it. Back then it was still the swipe up days. And then on YouTube, you ensure that that partnerships link is placed above the show more fold. So it's the first thing that people see. But media mix was a big thing that we tracked. We wanted to know what percentage of our budget was going towards Instagram stories versus reels versus TikTok. TikTok is still a very small budget for Seed versus YouTube integrations versus YouTube shorts, podcast newsletter. That is something that we evolved to track with a very fine-toothed comb. But about 6 months in, I hired a team coordinator, and her name is Marty Rose. She and I really took the program to incredible scale by the end of 2021. We hired out additional team members at the start of 2022. We hired three managers within like 2 or 3 months. It was Christina, Laura, and Joe, and the five of us just sprinted. We sprinted a marathon, I like to say. 2022 was a huge year for us, and we saw incredible growth year over year within our program. And then 2023, just trying to maintain that steam. And the team's carrying on the legacy without me, but they're doing a great job. Yeah. During my time at Seed, we spent just on influencer fees alone close to $20 million and saw about $100 million in revenue just from our influencers. And each we shared a good, we worked very cross-functionally with the performance marketing team. So a lot with paid social, because a lot of the deals that we were booking, a lot of the deals we were booking with creators, we wanted to give our paid team content, because in-house creative was a bit of a slower process for Seed. Obviously, the brand is incredibly beautiful, so there's a lot that goes into developing content. It was just a more methodical process, whereas influencers, we were just like making ourselves dizzy with how quickly we were working. And at one point, our performance marketing team, like 70% of their ad sets were just influencer allow listing, white listing deals. In terms of like budget allocation, influencers were around like 30 to 40% of our marketing budget. So a very big, decent chunk. And that's because we were seeing really high return. And of all the money that we spent, our CPA came in at around like $96. So that $100 mark.
Real quick on the CPA, is this just you guys? Walk us through a little bit. Walk the listeners through. How are you guys calculating that CPA? Is this, hey, you have an affiliate link here and some sort of backend platform that you're tracking this on? Is this a UTM link? What are you guys using to track that CPA?
Cold, hard code redemption. So let's pretend Cody's an influencer. Seed never had the capability to create co-branded landing pages, which I think would have unlocked a lot of success for the creator community. So we just had like our PDP pages. We were just directing customers to PDP pages. We added obviously source and medium information to those links so we could go back and track link clicks if we needed. But at the end of the day, we were like, Cody's code was literally Cody 15. How many new members used that code at checkout? And that was how we gauged campaign success.
And did those codes have discounts on them as well that you were giving out to influencers? And how did you guys, this is another big topic as well that we cover on the podcast from time to time, but like leaked codes, like how did you guys you're spending a lot of money, which means there's a lot of people part of your community. So managing that, like let alone a 100-person program, we're talking thousands, tens of thousands of creators, I'm assuming, that are a part of your program. Like how do you keep a wrap on that?
The before we had only this year in 2023, we transitioned our affiliate community from share sale to Impact, because Impact has really good code monitoring capabilities. But we did it the old fashioned way. We literally every single day, Marty Rose and I would just refresh all of the coupon sites of the world and just see what got picked up. Quickly deactivated on our end and give the creator a new code. But the best way to get around that is to actually partner with those discount sites and be like, listen, can you please turn off user generated codes for our brand? And instead we will give you a slightly higher discount code for you to use. And that's what we did with Honey. There are some more like sketchier, smaller sites that there's no way to contact them. So the best thing that you can do is just deactivate that code and create a new one for the partner. But our partner offer was 15% off your first purchase for the first 2 years. It was only this year that we started testing higher discounts, different types of discounts.
You're talking about the customer, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's still still something that Seed is figuring out right now, is like, what is their ideal discount that creators promote?
Well, it's a good call out for one of our sponsors of the show that highly protects code leakage, Social Snowball. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't thought of them for affiliate, they protect that. Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Social Snowball, an affiliate platform for e-com that is focused on enabling affiliate partnerships for what I like to call the modern affiliate. So not the traditional affiliates, publishers, blogs, etc. This is the modern affiliate, such as creators, ambassadors, influencers, customers, etc. So there's many things I love about Social Snowball. One of the first things that comes to mind is they eliminate all code leaks. So if your codes that have gone out to influencers or affiliates have ended up on coupon sites, Social Snowball would eliminate this. Also, it's very important to have a tiered-based system to motivate your affiliates to continue to post and generate revenue for you. So they make that super seamless, make it super easy on the affiliate to get paid out any which way that they like. So Venmo, PayPal, directly to their bank on a Visa gift card, Amazon gift card, all that, etc. If you guys haven't checked them out, they're on the Shopify App Store. Go check them out today. You're missing out. They are clearly the best and our number one recommendation for affiliate marketing. I'm curious, how many people were you signing per month new? What was net new? And then what was reoccurring, like retention revenue?
That's actually a really great question because it's a metric that we tracked as a team. We tracked a lot of different metrics. I am a ginormous data nerd, which I think more influencer marketers need to be like really in the weeds with their data.
Talking to the right people.
And you got to create it yourself sometimes too. All of the reporting that we did was in Google Sheets. It was making DIY pivot tables for days. But what you're kind of asking is like, what was the rebook versus test ratio in the early days? And a rebooked partner is someone that we're rebooking. They're returning to the community.
Thank you for that clarification.
Internal terminology. You got to love it.
So they were known converters, like top revenue drivers. We would tag them as a rebook partner. And then anybody that we had no idea how they were going to convert, we marked them as test. And so in the early days, it was like a 90% test to 10% rebook. Towards the end of 2021, we'd hit kind of like a 50-50 groove. And then we found our sweet spot at 70% rebooked partners, 30% test. So if you have $1 million, 700,000 of that should go to partners that are guaranteed to see a return and guaranteed to hit your ROAS goals or your CPA goals or what kind of goal, whatever goals you got. Make sure that 70% of your community is being prioritized to your budget. And then that leaves 30% or $300,000 to testing brand new partners that you've obviously like fully vetted and negotiated really good contracts with, but that at least was Seed's sweet spot.
How are you paying these influencers and what are you basing that off of? Are you basing that off of CPM? Are you basing that off of like an average CPA that we like, is it the under $100? But of course you can't predict that. So, but did you like gauge that based off of, okay, these follower accounts generally produce this CPA, back that out into a CPM? Like, how are you guys thinking about that? Because especially early days, 90% new tests, like you're signing thousands of creators a month.
Actually, our community was I guess what you would call like macro or mega. It just happened to be that way. So we probably at most work with 400 partners a month, but never thousands. We would have drowned. We would have buried ourselves. But still, obviously 4,000 is not chump change. So, how we negotiated these deals. So back to data, analytics, insights. So taking Instagram, for example, if we were reached out to someone that was an Instagram creator or we received their media kit, right out of the gate, we look for a handful of key metrics. We want to see their demographics, age, gender, location. Do they fit the Seed customer profile? Location, are they based in the US? Are they based internationally? What about their audience? Is their audience based in the US or are they based internationally? And then gender. If it's a female creator, we ideally want to see majority female followers. If it's a male creator, can kind of go both ways. But if you have a female creator with majority male followers, Odds are those male followers are not taking their product recommendations. So you just want to make sure that you're vetting those partners.
What do you mean? Why?
Don't be a creep, Taylor. That's what I mean.
This makes for good content. Keep going.
You're really in that initial assessment. What you're trying to assess, to repeat myself here, is do they have followers or do they have a community? And that's how you can test based off of their fault, like the insights into their community, but then also their engagement rate. So I'll be the first person to tell you that the number of followers literally doesn't matter. You could have 200,000 followers or 200 million. The odds are like the person with 200,000 followers is going to convert better and want to work more with you than the person with 200 million. So I always looked at engagement.
Okay, yeah. So you're basing payment off engagement.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a sliding scale. So if they have, this is, so we're super that, nerds.
What does that mean, though? 5% engagement gets what, $500?
Your ads look great, but it could also be silently murdering your profits. I've reviewed hundreds of e-commerce brands over the years, and you'd be surprised how many hidden mistakes I regularly come across that are just quietly killing growth. We've already done hundreds of audits in the past year alone. Brutally honest, actionable feedback that I'm applying to your business today to level up your e-commerce side. And if this sounds like something you'd like me to do for your business as well, let's connect. You can sign up for a free business audit now through our contact page at kinship.co. That's kinship.co/contact-us. Back to the episode.
No. So if a partner has a million followers and we want to see at least a 10% engagement on their Instagram story views. So we want to see at least 10,000 views. Am I doing my math correctly?
Yeah.
So we want to see
that'd be 100,000.
100,000. Exactly. So you would want to see at least, and that's on the low end. Like, we were really pushing and only wanting to work with creators that had anywhere from 10% to a 25% engagement rate between compared to like followers to views on stories. YouTube is a whole other ballgame.
So you're basing it off view through rate in comparison to engagement rate. Well, Instagram stories, that's the kind of like the engagement.
It's kind of the same. Understood. Yeah. Understood. And so if someone
how
has
how are you guys seeing that though? If I'm assuming you guys worked with them.
You're just asking for it.
Yeah. They're giving it to you.
Ask for it. Yeah, you ask for it. And ideally you're asking for screenshots because, you know, take everything with a grain of salt. So, you know,
I'm just going to keep going with this scenario. Million followers, yeah. 100,000 views. What does that get them?
That is a lower engagement rate. That's only a 10% engagement rate. We typically wanted to work with partners that had around a 25% engagement rate. And then based on that sliding scale, we also had a negotiating sliding scale. So if you were on the lower end of your engagement, you were also on the lower end of what we were willing to pay per view. If you were on the higher end of our engagement rate, you got a higher allowable pay per view, basically. And that's how we anchored our negotiations. On Instagram stories. YouTube is a whole other ballgame.
I'm waiting for you to go even further, Cody.
No, I'm not going to.
What'd you pay on a per view basis?
Yeah.
Depends on all of it.
Yeah. Well, I just know, our audience is, like, we're very data-oriented. Our audience is going to be the same type of listener. So they're all thinking these questions. Like, if I'm a founder, okay, I hear.
Yeah.
I almost hate that this is going to go live to our audience because they're going to be like, a 5x return, 100 million in attributable revenue. Let's just go out and pay a bunch of creators. They're going to get burned.
Don't do that. You got to be careful.
But
you got to make sure your vetting is in the right place.
Transitioning here more like into the paid media side of things. You already mentioned whitelisting yourself. I already see that they're currently doing a lot of whitelisting in the ad library. What was that performance there? You already talked about how you're very oriented around paid social, getting them content, which probably was another headache early on, maybe collecting the content, but kind of speak to that.
It was. Yeah. It was a, it's still a very big, I don't want to say that it is still the strongest acquisition. I know that one partner, he still carries the torch for performance for Seed on the paid use, paid media side, performance marketing side. You just the rule of thumb is bake it in for free. And these contracts you're negotiating, like have it be a, there's so many different, I call them negotiation levers that you can pull with talent agents or talent directly. If you can't agree to a fee, do you layer on paid usage to get the, you know, even better deal? That's what we did. We just started baking it. We obviously were very upfront. We're not sketchy. We're very upfront in our emails being like, we would like to include paid usage in this deal versus adding it to the contract at the end of the process, which is just not, no way to treat an influencer. But we were very upfront right out of the gate. Like, we would love to utilize this content on paid in, for our performance marketing team. And that was the early days when we were kind of putting spend behind any influencer or creative just to see what, just like throwing wet spaghetti noodles to a wall, what's going to stick. And that worked really well for us. Eventually, you kind of get to the point between your two teams where you really only want to be boosting or promoting influencer content that converts well organically. So that if it converted well for our team, we're like, put spend behind this. Here you go. Here's this beautiful package of content. Now go play and run with it. But it still is, and it was a very crucial part of our member acquisition strategy at Seed.
I just have a curious follow-up question. Cody's not going to be surprised. This is just something we always measure internally, the content that you got from the influencers. Did your team ever, something we always test when repurposing influencer content into the ad account, when we have allow listing, white listing, whatever you want to call it, we always run that content from the influencer's handle, but then also run that content from the brand's handle just to A/B test them against one another. Did you guys ever do that on your end? Was it more so the white listing access? Was it more so about the content? Which outperformed the other? Was that white listing really a huge variable that impacted performance? Curious to hear if you had visibility into that, if that was a test that you guys ran.
That is the way it should have been run. That's very smart to do, you know, using Cody as our influencer again. Does Cody convert best from Cody's profile, or does Cody convert best from Seed's profile? We didn't really do that. Seed has a very, it just came down to brand preference. If your brand is open and flexible to having someone be the face of the brand from the brand's profile, absolutely do that A/B testing. It just wasn't in Seed's playbook to be open to that. So we did all of our creator content from the creator's profile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like you were able to get it baked into your contracts relatively seamlessly. So it didn't low cost risk. You an arm and a leg. So it is very low risk. Typically, we just do that to, you know, let brands know, is this added investment? Because it's typically an added investment, right? To get white listing, worth it for your brand? Or is it more so just the creative that's really scaling things up here? But yeah, just a quick question. Interested.
Yeah. Well, honestly, too. So only maybe 2 years into our program, there wasn't a separate budget set aside for paid usage fees, but our larger creators required them. And so we kind of, we carved out a smaller budget that was just the performance marketing, like ad access budget. It's still, oh my, like 1% of what the influencer team, it's so tiny. But sometimes as your program gets larger and as it evolves and as you're putting more, you know, more money behind your marketing efforts, you need to anticipate that you're going to have to carve out a little baby budget to accommodate those paid usage fees. They should be pretty small. Yeah, ideally, hopefully, they're just a one-time fee. Don't pay for like multi-month fees. Like if it's $500 a month, just maybe do $500 one time. You know, negotiate as much as you can.
Engage that CPA and ROI like Lily keeps hammering.
Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Mighty Scout, an influencer tracking tool. So you've probably heard Taylor and I talk about Mighty Scout at length in past episodes, but today we want to take special time to speak to it specifically. So if you are investing in any sort of influencer marketing to a degree, I highly suggest getting on Mighty Scout. First of all, it's going to track all of your organic posting that goes out. So if you're doing seeding, pay for posts, you can drop in all your influencers by campaign. And then once those influencers are in those campaigns, they're going to immediately start being tracked if and when they mention you. by handle or any hashtags that you give it. So it's going to give and pull all that content, most importantly, so that you can know who posted, you can reach out for content rights, etc. Also, it's going to give you all the reporting and ROI on those things as far as metrics wise. So you're going to be able to know the vanity metrics that go out around those influencer posts. You're going to know everything that it goes into around influencer marketing in regards to Mighty Scout. So if you haven't checked them out, highly, highly suggest them. Go to mightyscout.com to find out more.
Transition a little bit here. On our end, we've worked with several supplement companies. In those instances, supplement companies typically take a little bit of a while to see the results from consuming such supplements. And so with that, you know, you're negotiating deals and sending product out and getting content created right away. Was there ever a struggle with authenticity bleeding through the creative that you're creating with them? Because again, it takes a little bit of time to see the benefits right away when first introduced to the product. So just curious to hear from you on that.
Yeah, especially probiotics, where people are like, the heck you're talking about? Can I just eat kimchi and all of my problems will be solved? yeah, with seed, I mean, typically with like a multivitamin, whether it's however bioavailable the multivitamin is, if it's in a capsule or a greens drink, you can see almost like same day effects, because multivitamins, especially at the volumes that they're being created now, it's like, oh my God, the B vitamins just got me amped. It can almost be a same day effect. Obviously there's more long-term health benefits when you take it more frequently. With seed, there was an acclimation period. Like, we recommended that partners and customers start with one capsule for the first 3 days, just so your body can acclimate, because it's honestly the first time it's experiencing a probiotic. It's the first time that probiotic is surviving your stomach acid, your bio salts, digestive enzymes, and making it to your colon where it needs to be. And we allowed that grace period with our partners. The benefit is that some of the initial partners that we worked with had heard of seed before, which makes your lives a lot easier because they're familiar with the brand. Maybe they've tried it. They're not paying it for themselves. But when we were starting our program, it was very rare that an influencer had heard about seed before. And so we kind of, knowing that our product had a specific acclimation period, and knowing that we wanted the partner to try seed for at least 2 weeks before filming content, we just backed that into our content calendar. So we took the product at its core and we accommodated that, or we accounted for that. There we go. In our campaign calendar.
That type of patience is a rarity in our space, it seems. So that was refreshing.
It was rare at seed too, but I was like, listen, we're working with human beings. We got to give them a hot second to try the product first.
I'm surprised with how much influencer has been such a huge part of your growth. I mean, you obviously guys raised a lot of money. So the starting budget is probably more generous than maybe many others or many are listening. I'm surprised it's nowhere on your website. Like, it's not even a feature, as opposed to like an Athletic Greens or other companies that just feature their ambassadors, especially since you guys weren't working primarily in like the micro level where you kind of understand it because it's everyday humans. But if you're working in that middle tier to upper echelon, you're already laughing. So, you got to have thoughts. Hit me.
I don't work there anymore. I'm kidding. I'm not going to lay it on too thick. Yes, that was... I think our lives would have been a little bit easier if we had had more brand flexibility. And that's just it at the end of the day. It was a brand preference thing that, I actually don't know why we pushed for it a lot. There's seed.com/seeduniversity, which is like our application to our affiliate program, but it still doesn't feature the faces of our affiliates.
So who is the biggest name that you worked with?
Oh, which cohort?
Well, I mean, just name some. I mean,
in the food recipe and nutrition space, Bobby over at Flav City was a big one for us. In the home decor / DIY category, Jen Todrick, Rambling Redhead. She's been around for a while. We love Jen's the best.
That's Taylor's favorite follow.
Really? You love her? Oh, she's hysterical. I feel like you guys would actually really vibe with her
big
content.
Big home decor guy.
She's sounds like a good time.
She's so funny. She's actually like an HGTV channel host. And that's actually Hot tip. Just go find those HGTV hosts because they convert like crazy. And I don't know why. I think it's because they have very loyal community members. But anyway.
I do know this rambling redhead. Oh, that is
yeah, you do.
My wife follows her and really likes her. This is funny. I just looked her up. That's good.
She's great.
Wife follows her. Whatever.
Lifestyle. Fitness lifestyle is Sammy Clark over on YouTube and Instagram. She's just so sweet. There's a lot. I would have to think through kind of the different cohorts that we identified, and there's a lot of good ones out there. Well, the best ones are cross platform. They're on Instagram and on YouTube.
Most bang for your
buck. It's a good transition into what you're doing now with Superfiliate, because it's a good transition between they never put influencers on Seed's website to now we're going to have influencer specific landing pages for your clients. So I'm already kind of teasing the product, but tell people what Superfiliate is.
I was first connected to Andy and Anders, the co-founders of Superfiliate, about a year and a half ago, because they were pitching me on the platform to bring it to Seed. And Seed doesn't have any landing pages for their partners. Like I mentioned before, it's just product links with source and medium information added to it. So nothing customized. They did have a handful of custom landing pages, but we only reserved those for podcast partners because the actual tech lift took days to do to make a landing page. So we're like, let's just reserve that process for podcasts. But I wanted to bring Superfiliate over to Seed. The only reason why we couldn't was because Seed was no longer on Shopify. We were on something called Recurly, which just ripped my heart out of my chest. Because I've been partnering with Superfiliate for the last 3 weeks, and I've already seen the benefit to having not only a co-branded landing page, but being able to house not only your referral program, but your affiliate program and your influencer program and whatever kind of programs that you want, all in the same space, all in the same software. And every individual, if whether they're a referral partner or an influencer, can have a co-branded landing page where it feels customized to them and unique to them. And it makes them feel special. Because my theory is that personalization is what takes a group of creators and turns them into a community. And that's really what you want your influencers to feel, is that they are a part of a community, that they are supported on the back end and ultimately on the front end. And that's kind of what Superfiliate is. Not kind of. That is what Superfiliate is hoping to streamline for a lot of their brands.
So one question on that before we wrap up here is the dream scenario where whitelisting Taylor, you know, his content through his handle goes to a landing
Taylor's
page.
An influencer now.
Yeah, I'm passing the torch. Where Taylor's, you know, custom landing page on Superfiliate where he has that same video content playing when you actually click the link to go buy. Is that the vision?
Yeah. Yeah. And we can have multiple creators on a creator's landing page. We can just have that one creator. It's just humanizing the experience.
We've been looking for a partner for quite some time that offers a service. So I'm starting to think Cody set you up on this podcast for a reason.
No pressure. I'm sweating.
Lily, you've been incredible. Really appreciate you taking the time. What advice would you give brands looking to scale with influencer marketing? If you can leave them with a pro tip that wraps up all your experience in a bow here, would that advice be?
At the end of the day, your arm of the marketing department is anchored truly and most deeply in the human experience. So don't forget that. You are working with creators. You are working with people. They are not just sales channels. They are not just brand awareness drivers. These are people. And just treat them as you would want to be treated, you know, the golden rule. And make sure that you're supporting them throughout the entire process.
That was so good to hear how data oriented you are. And that's very much so how we are as well. But to wrap it up with that final note, humanizing this channel. Yeah. We are very much so aligned, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. This is fun. Cody, now you got to be an influencer. I've used you enough as an example. You're ready.
You don't even know if I am or not.
Yeah, this guy has hundreds of thousands of followers. Go check him out. The Rambling Redhead.
Did you do your homework, Lily?
She didn't
do her homework. She didn't.
No.
All right, we'll end it there. Thanks, Lily.
Thank you.
All right, that's all for today. If you'd like some help developing your influencer marketing campaign, go ahead and DM us on Twitter. Links are in the description. Or you can head to kinship.co to learn more, and you can book a call there. That's kynship.co. At kinship.co, you also find tools, templates, and resources all designed to help you grow an influencer campaign that drives visibility and sales, not just likes. Thanks for tuning in, as always, and we'll see you next week.